Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the opportunity to be here, to be able to worship you, to be able to do that with our brothers and our sisters in Christ that you have so kindly blessed us with. Lord God, I know that as we come into this place today, that we come in from very different weeks. This last week, I know that for some, they have faced tremendous hardships and pains in this last week. For some, they're living on that mountaintop high in this last week. Wherever we come into this place this morning from in this last week, Lord God, may we be able to give you our full and undivided attention as we study your word this morning. May we be able to just for these next moments set aside whatever it is and just worship you and learn about you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be a true friend to others. I think it's probably fair to say that most of us desire to have true friends in our lives. Now, there are some people that perhaps what they prefer or what they desire is to have people in their lives that will just encourage them with whatever choices they make, regardless of whether it be a good choice or not. Or they're interested in a friendship with somebody they can gain something from that individual. I would suggest that those aren't true friendships that are being sought. I believe that a true friend, these are people who are going to be there for you in the good times and in the bad times. They will seek to make you better by being honest with you. They'll challenge you when you're wrong. But they'll also be the first people to stand right beside you and encourage you and support you when you're right, even when others think that you're wrong. A true friend is there for you, and they are going to be there for you all the time. We're going to be looking this morning a little bit more at what it means to be a true friend to our brothers and our sisters in Christ, in the family of God that we talked about last week. So far, we've been working through the book of Galatians, and we're now finding ourselves in chapter 4, and up till now, we have seen that Paul has been arguing doctrinally about the Galatians turning away from God's saving grace. He's talked about Christ's crucifixion, faith in the law. He's talked about the Holy Spirit and becoming a part of the family of God. And now Paul begins a more personal argument. He speaks to the Galatians through and about his personal relationship with them. And he is a true friend to them, is what I would suggest. So if you're using one of the church Bibles, I encourage you to read along with us. Page 825, Galatians chapter 4. We're going to pick up at verse 12 this morning. I want us to look today at these verses and find out how we can be a good, strong Christian friend to our brothers and sisters in Christ, like Paul was to the Galatians. So starting in chapter 4, verse 12, it says this: I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of the Lord, or an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn your eyes out and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always and not just when I'm with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed by you. The first thing that we see in verses 12 through 14 of this passage is that a true friend will seek to ease the restoring of a relationship. Right? Every relationship at some point in time is going to come up against hard, challenging difficulties. And so often it's going to need some restoration along the course of the journey of life. And when a relationship gets strained, a true friend is going to strive to make it easy for that relationship to be restored. Paul has shared with them in this previous chapters that we've seen up till now, the doctrinal basis of their beliefs and how he is encouraging them and reminding them about their personal relationship and their friendship. Paul doesn't want to make it any more difficult than it already is for the Galatians. He lets them know that they have not wronged him in any way. And he reminds them of the kind of relationship that they have shared together in the past. They may have diverted from what Paul had been teaching them, but he wants them to come back to the truth that he has been teaching them. Remember, there was this whole part through the first three chapters of Galatians that we read about, where Paul had shared about God's saving grace and the way to have a relationship with Jesus Christ was only through that saving grace. And then the Judaizers came in and kind of messed that up, and they threw some extra stuff in there about becoming a Jew. He wants us for them to come back to what he has taught them to be right. He's not trying to build himself up or to build his own ego and then go to him and say, I told you so. I told you guys. No, he just simply wants to restore what is best for them. Paul is letting them know that he continues to want that personal relationship with them, and that they have not permanently damaged that relationship by being deceived by false teachers. They still could return to the truth and their relationship would be as it was before. If a relationship has been strained by something, make it easy for the friend, that brother or that sister in Christ, to be restored into relationship with you. This is a sign of a true friendship, when we look to make restoration easy. Sometimes I think relational strains are going to be the result of differences that we might have of opinion on non-essentials of faith, would be what I would call them. Right? An example or two of that might be, sitting in this room, I would venture to guess that there is a difference of opinion on whether drinking is okay or not. I'm just going to venture to guess that. That is not an essential of salvation with Jesus Christ. It's not. So in those kind of situations, in those kind of cases, we need to let the Spirit of God grow us and grow them and shape us and shape them. God molds us over time. But in cases like Paul and the Galatians that we're looking at this morning, this is one of those fundamental doctrinal faith, important pieces to the faith. He's talking about salvation. This is critical. This is of first importance. So it's not something that you can just kind of walk away from and say, okay, well, you do what you want, or it doesn't work that way. Paul says, I need to tell them what is the truth here. He needs to stand firm on what he knew to be the truth, but continue to keep them in relationship so that they can return to the truth and the relationship could be restored. So very first thing that we look at is the fact that we need to look at and try to make it easy for people in our lives to be able to restore relationships when they're hurt. Secondly, a true friend will remind us who we are in Christ. A true friend will remind us who we are in Christ. Going back to verse 15 that we looked at, it says, "What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me." Paul is saying here in this passage, in this one verse, he's saying, look, you're a child of God. You were experiencing all this incredible fruit and joy in this life as a child of God. And you aren't anymore. You've forgotten who you are. And there are times when we get deceived or beaten down by the enemy, using the circumstances of our life to distract us away from being who we really are, a child of the risen King. When that happens, we begin losing the joy in our life that only God can provide. That is when we need friends to come along beside us and remind us who we are. To remind us of the joy that we've had in our lives and experienced in our lives, even during times of sacrifice. Paul says to the Galatians that you used to be so joyful. And you were joyful even in the midst of wanting to sacrifice and giving greatly of yourselves for me. I think the key is remember who you are and remind your friends who they are. To do this, we actually have to be in relationships with people so that we can know the things that have happened in their lives, the things that they're going through right now in their lives. We need to get to know others. We need to share our lives with other people. We've got to spend time with other people. You can't be a true friend without spending time with somebody else. And by spending time with people, I mean more than just on Sunday mornings, coming and getting together with our church family. I'm really excited. This next year, one of the goals that we have as a church that we've already just started a little tiny bit working towards is some sort of community groups or life groups or small groups or what, I don't know what it's going to be called. But to really put into place a plan that will help us as a church to be able to develop really more intimate relationships with each other, that will allow us to be able to study God's Word more in depth together, that will allow us to be able to care for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, that will allow us to be able to serve together and to build relationships with each other. When we have these kinds of relationships, and if a friend is drawn away at some point, you will be able to remind them of who they are and what God has done in their lives in the past. Thirdly, We see that a true friend will speak the truth. Speak the truth. And this is Galatians 4:16. It says, "Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth?" You ever feel like that in life? Something needs to be said. You say it, and all of a sudden, the whole relationship just takes a turn for the worse. See, Paul had shared the truth of the gospel with the Galatians. He shared the truth that they are now heading in the wrong direction. There are going to be times when it's really, really difficult to be truthful because we think it will damage a relationship. There are times when the truth can be hard to speak, but it can also be really hard to hear. Nobody likes to hear that they are wrong at something, about something, or that they're doing something that is wrong. It may initially even hurt someone. But a true friend will tactfully and lovingly speak the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 tells us exactly how to do it. That the key to speaking the truth is to do it in love. To have the intent, the desire in our hearts to help better that individual and that person. When we're speaking difficult truth to somebody, we need to do it in a way that lets them know that we love them. Throughout Galatians, Paul has been tough. But, as evidenced in this section, he also is loving to them. And we see that all through the book of Galatians and Paul's writings in general. And that's the important thing for us to remember when it comes to speaking the truth, is the need to do it in love. Loving people, it's not a one-time event. It's not something that you can just walk in today and say, okay, today I'm going to show this person I love them and that's it, and then you walk away and that's it and done and over with. That is not showing love to people. Loving people is not a one-time event. It is lived out each and every day in our lives. In 1 John chapter 3:18, it says this, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Daily actions. Paul loved the Galatians with his actions. And the Galatians had loved Paul with their actions. They had a good relationship while he was there with them. Some were thinking that Paul was the enemy now because he had told them the truth. Understand the importance of truth. Paul is willing in this moment to be looked at as being their enemy because the truth was that important to be heard, to be known. When we have loved people in visible ways, we earn capital, in a sense, to be able to speak the truth in a loving way into their lives, even when it may not be received well initially. But we have to earn that right. We have to earn that capital. I had a conversation this last week that was a really, really hard conversation to have with somebody. Somebody that I love dearly. And it was only because I had earned capital with that relationship by showing years and years and years of love to this individual, that I was able to say some pretty hard things that needed to be said. Some truths that needed to be shared. And I know that the initial thoughts were not appreciated necessarily. But I also know that it was truth that needed to be spoken. Be a true friend and speak the truth. But speak it in love. Because we've all been on the receiving side of those really tough conversations. I know I have. Where somebody's spoken truth into my life. And it's hard to hear. So do it in love. Next, a friend will not seek to use you. If you're in a friendship and it's just so that they can get something out of it, that's not a true friendship. Galatians 4, 17 through 18 says, those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always and not just when I am with you. See, Paul is telling the Galatians that the Judaizers, that the people that had come in behind him and were feeding false stuff to the Galatians, are seeking just to use the Galatians for their own purposes without any concern for what is best for the Galatians and for their lives with Jesus Christ. Paul told the Romans the same thing when he wrote it in Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. He said, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you have learned. Keep away from them, he says. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. The Judaizers who came to the Galatians wanted the Galatians to be zealous for them, for their purposes, not for God's. I think that this is a great danger today in our culture that we're a part of, in society, the world that we all live in. I think that this right here is a great danger within our churches. Even good pastors, pride can cloud their thinking. It can. We see it all the time. Paul says it's okay to be zealous, provided that it is for good. But the Judaizers were trying to destroy the relationship that Paul had with the Galatians so that they could use them for their own purposes. I'm going to suggest that this type of behavior is probably one out of two things. It's either just really immature, childish behavior or prideful, or it's almost like this cult-like behavior. If you want to be friends with me, you can't be friends with him. That's kind of the childish, prideful way. Or the cult-like aspects, I think, is more, if you want to be part of that group, you will not be friends with anyone who does not agree with the way they think. The idea is to get them away from all differing opinions. Now notice that the Judaizers used to come in when? Right after Paul would leave, right? They didn't come in while Paul was still there. They came in after Paul had left and already begun the church, and Paul wasn't around anymore. It's easy to attack someone who's not around to defend himself. So please hear me on this. It's not bad to want to keep our friends away from negative influences. That's a good thing. But how you determine what is negative and what is positive, that's a question that should be talked about. What if you have two people saying that they care about you and that the other person is a negative influence for you? Who do you believe? Right? We've all had those situations where from people that we think both truly love us and want the best for us, but they just have a different view, a different approach on something. So how do you determine which is truth. You have to test what they're saying against Scripture. Scripture is an objective truth that each of us can use as a standard. And the truth doesn't change in it. It's the same today as it'll be in 50 years from today. Our job is to be so familiar with the truth of God that we will be able to recognize false teachings from friends, from family members, from the church. And trust me, there are going to be more and more and more times in the years moving forward where you're going to find false teaching right in our local churches. Test things against the Word. Be in the Word. That's why we encourage this all the time. Be in God's Word. If you are being confused by what people are saying, dive into the Word and pray and ask God for wisdom about it. The final thing I want us to look at and talk about just briefly is a friend will see you as family. The last couple of verses, 19 and 20, it says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone because I am perplexed about you." Now, I'm not a woman, but I've been told that in the process of giving birth, it's quite painful. Right? When a woman is birthing a child, the child is a source of great pain for that lady. But guess what? Despite that great pain that child is the source of, that mother loves that child. In the same way the Galatians are causing Paul this great pain, not physically, but in different manners. Because they're moving away from what Paul has taught them about receiving God's saving grace. But you know what? He loves them nonetheless. When we invest in and raise our children, and they mature and they grow, we see this outward manifestation of how we raise our kids. When we pour into our kids, it influences who they become, how they behave, the decisions that they make, how they process things. The same is true for believers. There's this growing process, and Paul is wanting Christ to be seen in the lives of the Galatians in an outward way. This is the normal course for all believers. There should be visible evidence of Christ living in us. Earlier in our study in the book of Galatians, we looked at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And here's what it said. It said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That is the outward manifestation of those who have become family by receiving Jesus Christ. "I've been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me." To be a true Christian friend, we need to help others be discipled in the faith, just as Paul is doing with the Galatians. Just as we raise kids in our biological families, we raise disciples in our spiritual families as well. That is what loving them as family means. It means taking what should be the absolutely most important thing in our lives and impressing it on them. It means spending time with them and helping others grow in the faith and mature in the faith. Being a true friend to somebody means treating them as family by helping them grow in Jesus Christ. Now, there are probably some here who haven't experienced true Christian friendship. And there may be some here who have not been a friend like they need to be. You can only make a decision this morning for your actions, for how you are going to be in regards to being a friend to others, for how you'll treat others. If you haven't done a good job of being a true friend to people that are part of your life, I encourage you today to decide it's going to change. It's going to change. Maybe there's somebody that's popping in your mind right now, a name that's popping in your head. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody you go to school with. Maybe it's somebody you go to church with. Maybe it's somebody you work with. Make a decision. Starting today, I'm going to be a true friend to that person. Ask for God's help in being that true friend to the people that God places in your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, last week we talked about the family of God. This week we talked about friendships. Relationships to you are so important. And relationships can be so healthy and so nurturing and so caring and so loving. Such a blessing to each one of us when they are healthy, when they are true friendships. So from our part, Lord God, where we are responsible for how we are friends to others, allow us, Lord God, to be quick at restoring relationships. If there are differences that need to be worked through, allow us to work through those. If there is pain that has taken place in a relationship, allow us to actively work at resolving that and restoring the relationship. Father God, help us to be a people that we're constantly reminding others of who they are in you and what that means in their lives. And help us to be people that are truthful with each other. Even when it's difficult and hard, help us to lovingly speak into people's lives to encourage them to be all that you desire them to be from what we know from your word. Help us, Lord God, to see others as our family. And when doing so, wanting to share the most important thing that is a part of our lives, our spiritual walk with you. Allow us to desire to share that with our friends. And to make decisions to actually do it. We pray these things in your name. Amen.